Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 54 to 59. And this is for Friday the 27th of November, of October, excuse me. Jesus said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately that it's going to rain, and so it does. And when you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say, it's going to be hot, and so it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth, the earth, and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? If you are to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the constable. And the constable will throw you in prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny." And so the gospel of the Lord. The gospel presents us with the necessity of probing the signs of intelligibility in our earthly experience and the varieties of people we meet. We're asked to make a choice amid all these experiences. Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? One of the really strong features of our Catholic faith is that it takes signs and symbols seriously. So in our tradition of worship, signs, symbols, art, music, gesture make an enormous contribution to those religious moments which cannot be fully expressed in words. The poetry, music, gestures, and images of praise will often exceed what can be captured in words alone. This belief was brought home to me strongly in my recent experiences. As we get older and people live longer, we're all beginning to experience new profiles of illness and disability. My brother, a few years older than I am, is suffering from an extreme case of Alzheimer's disease. The past 6 months have seen him deteriorate rapidly, and after a series of efforts on the part of the family, he's ended up in a care facility with finally, a properly adjusted medication. While I live in Oregon, he lives in Central California in the valley. Well, it was time for me to pay him a visit. The 20-hour train trip almost did me in, but I had some encounters on the train that made it all worthwhile. There's a tradition on the train at meals to have people eat at the same table and so make new friends. The first night, I sat across from a couple whose granddaughter was at the Las Vegas concert with her boyfriend, and her harrowing experience. When the shooting began, she froze, and her boyfriend threw her over a wall, and they ran with a group of 20 or so back to their hotel. "Does anyone have a room here?" "We do," they said. And so 20 of them lay on the floor of the room in terror for 4 hours. Then, when they emerged, the horror of the bodies were still in place on the ground because it was a crime scene. The granddaughter is suffering from serious post-traumatic shock. The number of victims of this tragedy and their relatives and friends is so vast that I think many of you will probably make that encounter and have a direct connection with those touched by this tragedy. Other people on the train wanted to talk religion when they found out I was a priest. One fellow with an Oklahoma hat on was talking football big time, but his wife wanted to speak about Jesus. She seemed to have a sort of free-floating notion of Jesus that didn't connect with any tradition I'm aware of. I've got to pay more attention to that. Then there was the enthusiastic preacher from Las Vegas who assured me that I must remember to say or even spell the name Jesus at the pearly gates to be assured of entrance. He must have been preaching in the other cars because after a while some Catholics were brought back by him to meet the priest. Well, all of these experiences were in contrast to my actual visit with my brother. The next day, my brother Dan, his wife, Loretta, and I drove down to his care facility. All was clean and bright, and in my brother's room, he was sitting in a wheelchair with his hat on in the sunshine. He was pretty unresponsive and didn't even look up when his wife encountered him. I would have loved to have had a glance directly, "Hello, Jerry," but it just didn't happen. I brought the Eucharist with me and had planned to give him the sacrament of the sick and also for his wife, who's undergoing the operation in a few days. I realized that the Eucharist would be not possible for my brother. I make rosaries and carve the crosses and give them away to people here at the retreat house. At the outset, I gave a rosary to Loretta and then one to my brother Dan, not knowing if he would just drop it on the floor. But he stared at it for the longest time. And then, with the delicacy of finger movement that I recall from his childhood eating a favorite treat, he placed the rosary around his neck. This was really a gift for me. Here's this ex-Marine sergeant doing something so gentle, and as it turns out, holy. Well, this was the high point of my visit. His moment of partial recognition of something sacred was the best that we could do. Later, his wife had him sign some forms and so on. He did with some great difficulty, yet when I looked, the signature was perfect, just as I remember it. You know how to interpret the signs, the appearance of the earth and the sky. This is not the first time that symbols and signs did the speaking for me. My brother Dan's partial recognition of the rosary, his gentle and gracious behavior, made a difficult trip most worthwhile. I'll be forever grateful that our Catholic tradition uses signs to capture some of the most profound spiritual realities that exceed our ability to speak about them. Look at the beauty, signs of life. Judge for yourselves what is right, and know that I am your Savior, and begin to see with the eyes of your soul.